Please keep everyone in our prayers tonight. There's so much sickness going around and so much coughing and hacking in this tough winter we're going through, where it seems to be nothing but below zero, which gets pretty old and pretty difficult to deal with. So keep everybody in your prayers. It's just been a kind of a difficult winter. Let's hope it gets improved and maybe even warms up a little bit. Also, too, just a quick announcement, and I know Lynn brought this out this morning, too. I have Diane and Mark Gerber's address on the phone, on the bulletin board out there. So if you have a chance, send them a card or a text to either one of them. I'm sure they would so much love to hear from our brothers and sisters here. Tonight, my message is entitled, How Bright is Your Light? And I hope that you have seen the common thread in our teachings these last couple of services. We've talked about the importance of being yoked up to Jesus and learning to be meek and lowly in heart as we walk side by side with him. Paul taught last Sunday about the importance of prayer in our daily life and why we pray. Prayer is that foundational stone in our walk with Jesus. We can't walk side by side, comfortable in that yoke, without prayer. Prayer is also a place of our learning for us, and it's a time of refreshing. It's a wonderful stress reducer in this stressful life. But it's also a place of which we gain insight into God and into his people. And prayer is often a place of introspection. It's a time for us to look at our own self, a checkup, a yoke adjustment. Am I freely following Jesus in that yoke, or am I straining a little, pushing or pulling to the way I think is best? It's also a time for us to let our own light shine inward. Wednesday, again, we talked about the importance of walking a walk full of God's light, so full that all can see Jesus in each one of us. Working to find the balance on how to walk holy in an unholy world, godly in an ungodly world, just as our Jesus did. And it takes prayer, and it takes his guiding light to walk pleasing. I want to begin tonight in Luke, the 11th chapter. I'm going to read verses 33 through 36. Again, the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter. Luke 11, we're going to be reading verses 33 through 36. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is in the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, or clear, this word means, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. And though what that actually means, this word that's full of evil, it means it's diseased or it's unable to see clearly. And it says, thy body is full of darkness. When we receive the Holy Ghost, we begin to see ourselves and others through Jesus' eyes. He becomes the source of our light, our candle, by which we view ourselves, each other, and the world around us. Verse 35, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness, shaded, or obscured, without a clear vision. Verse 36, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the ability to see clearly at all times, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give light. As we look carefully at these scriptures, we fully understand that we are responsible to keep our light in good working condition. And as we go into these scriptures tonight, I do want to remind you of something our pastor Alice used to say to us often, and again Paul said it last Sunday. Don't throw these scriptures over your shoulder to your brother or your sister. Take it for yourself. I want to read verse 35 again. Take heed. Pay attention. Put some thought into these words. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. We need to be able to see clearly at all times. I want to turn into the Old Testament to the book of Ecclesiastes in the third chapter. I'm going to go to the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, and the third chapter. Again, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes 3. I'm going to begin in verse 1. Ecclesiastes 3, beginning in verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. If we could really keep this uppermost in our mind and recognize that everything in our lives has a purpose, not just the big stuff, but even the small everyday problems. In fact, if we look at our everyday problems with His light, we'll handle them with His light guiding us, not our own nature. By doing that, we learn to overcome our old nature. By learning how to handle the small things spiritually, we can grow so much in God, but one builds upon the other. Think about that. To be daily learning how to handle those pesky little problems, those disagreements, those trials at work, school, and everyday life with people. Those lessons, learning how to handle the little ones, they prepare us and they teach us how to handle the big ones. As we walk in this life, life is so much what these next verses say. Verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to be born and a time to die. Life is full of opposites. It's full of beginnings and endings, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Again, life is full of beginnings or plantings. It's also a time of starting over, plucking up what did not bear fruit, plucking up and finding a better way, being willing to learn at all times of our lives, truly being meek and lowly in heart. Verse 3. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to kill. Kill what? Our old nature. A time to heal. Let Jesus' light clean us up. A time to break down and a time to build up. Break down that old nature and build up a new nature full of His light, so full that others see it because you function constantly and continuously in His light. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to weep. So many things in our life cause us to weep. A time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. It makes me think of that scripture in the 30th Psalms that says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Everything is a season. Everything is a season. The things that make us weep, laugh, mourn, and dance, they all have a wealth of knowledge to teach us. Being willing to learn, being willing to turn our light inward first. Watch all of these things through his light. Let him illuminate what he has for us to learn during these times. As we continue in these scriptures, I want you to keep in mind how life, with its ups and downs, highs and lows, can affect your light. As we weather the storms and the difficulties of life, both big and small, it can, if we allow, dim our light and obscure our vision. Verse 5. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. To cast away stones. We have to learn to let go of some of the weights we carry, some of the hurts and the grudges that we harbor. A time to gather stones together. Replace those old stones with foundational rocks of love, forgiveness, long-suffering, compassion, grace, mercy for ourselves and for others. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. As we go through times of our lives, we are so, so connected to one another, and that is so wonderful. But we also have times in our life where it's just you and God trying to figure things out together. Verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to get those fruits of the Spirit, a time to lose that ugly old nature that causes you and everyone else so much trouble. A time to keep what you learn in God. A time to cast away. Again, cast away that old ugly nature that causes you and everyone else not only a bunch of trouble, but an awful lot of hurt. Are you still looking inward tonight? Or are you tossing this over your shoulder? Is your light shining on you, not your brother or your sister? I can't tell you how many times I asked myself that question as I've worked on this lesson. So many times as God gave me scripture, he said, "You line up to this one? You line up?" Verse 7. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to rend and a time to sow. Tear apart what does not work and put it back together in a better way. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Hello, a time to keep silence. Just saying. I am so glad we're part of a family. Woohoo. I'm going to read verse 7 again. And you on the internet are also part of this lovely family. A time to rend, a time to sow, a time to tear apart what does not work and put it back together in a better way. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. And boy, if we could master anything, let it be this one: control over our tongue. Words are so hurtful. I have always loved the scene in the movie Dances with Wolves, where the young Indian boy says very hurtful words to his mother. The father takes him outside and he tells the young boy to shoot an arrow into the tree. And the young boy does, not fully understanding why. Then the father walks him to the tree and he tells him to pull out the arrow, which he does. The father then tells him to repair the hole, or the wound left in the tree? The boy says, I can't. His father gently tells him that's what his unkind words did to his mother's heart. Left a wound even after apologies were made. Shoot any arrows lately? I have certainly shot my own share of arrows which have caused hurt, and I regret so much hurting others. With God's light, I can make it right according to his word, but it still leaves a wound on the heart of someone that I love. Each one of us at times have been the victim of an arrow, and we know how that feels. That in itself should teach us to not shoot any arrows of hurt. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Spend some time on that one. Words have huge impact on others. Verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. A time to love. Love God. Love his people. Love what he allows in our life to teach us. Love through the ups and the downs, the good and the bad. Love, it's the greatest commandment because it has so much power. A time to hate. Hate what hurts and injures God and his people. Hate what hurts your brothers and sisters. A time of war. A time to do battle against our own natures. A time to battle this old world and the evil in it. But never, never, never a time of battling each other. Never. A time of peace. God's peace that endures through all of our ups and downs, good and bad, his peace. Where would we be without it? We are in this race together, each carrying our own burdens, each of us working to stay yoked up together with Jesus, especially as we go into this new year. New things, new positions, fine-tuning the new outreaches we began just a few short years ago. In the New Testament, I want to turn to Galatians, the 6th chapter. New Testament, Galatians, the 6th chapter. I'm going to begin in verse 1. Again, we're Galatians, the 6th chapter. I'm going to start in verse 1. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If a man be overtaken or caught in a fault, and a fault here is not always sin. It can be a bad mistake, it can be poor judgment, wrong choice, it can be a stumble. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That scripture is brightly clear on how things are to be handled. You which are spiritual, holy, led by the Holy Ghost, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There's no part of those instructions that are unclear or shaded. It's very clear. That light of God shines so bright that we have perfect clarity. This word burdens here in this verse, it's weights. loads that we carry in life. We're supposed to come alongside one another and help carry those things that are difficult for our brother or sister to carry. By doing this, we fulfill the law of Christ, loving one another. Verse 2 and 3. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. This is also pretty clear. Thinking yourself to be something when you're nothing, isn't that the exact opposite of what is required in verse 1? One who is spiritual, full of meekness, full of light, not full of self. Verses 4 and 5. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. This burden here refers to our works. It's different from the weights that we carry in life that is spoken of up in verse number 2. Burdens or works that God requires of us. Prove, examine your own works, rejoicing and being content, happy with who you are in God. Don't waste your time checking out everyone else. Use your own light to look inward first, seeking your own gifts and talents and ability, not pointing at others. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. This word communicate here means share. Share what you taught through all good things to the one who has taught you. Who teaches you? Whose light shows you what you need to do? It's Jesus who teaches you. How do you share or communicate to him what you have learned from him? How do you communicate unto him all good things which you have learned? Hold your place here and turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. Holding your place because we are going to come back to Galatians. In Matthew 25, I'm going to be reading verses 34 through 40. Again, we're jumping over to Matthew, holding our place in Galatians. We're coming back to Galatians. Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40. Then the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was ahungered, and you gave me meat, I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee ahungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. This is how we show Jesus what we have learned. What we show to him about our lives and our light. What is he saying by these examples? That we have learned to be empathetic. We have learned to be compassionate. We have learned to be forgiving. We have learned to be long-suffering. We have learned to take care of needs that have been brought to our attention, and so many other ways that we deal one with each other. We show what he has taught us when we show grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, and long-suffering. That's how we communicate to him who teaches us. The very things he has taught us, we put into action. I like, if you look at the question the righteous ask in verses 37 and 39, when did we do all these things? Seems like being full of grace, love, mercy, forgiveness, long-suffering was just an everyday part of life. Just an everyday part of their life. Go back to Galatians, the sixth chapter, and we're going to pick up in verse 7. Again, jump back to Galatians, picking back up in verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This faint not is don't lose heart. Don't lose that first love. We certainly at times do grow weary in well-doing because we're human. Our light can lose some of its brilliance. It can get battered by the storms of life. Sometimes we feel sandblasted. Sometimes just the day-to-day stress of life makes us weary. When we find ourselves in that position, go for a tune-up. Go get your batteries recharged. Head towards the light. You can see it no matter how intense the storm if you look for it. You feel sandblasted, you feel weary, go get your batteries recharged. Go to the light. Remember what we read in Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 35. Take heed. Pay attention. Therefore, that light which is in thee be not darkness. Or you become as the rest of that verse in 34. If thine eye is evil, doesn't see clearly, the body is full of darkness. I want to turn into the Old Testament, into the book of Psalms, the 18th Psalm. Old Testament, book of Psalms, Psalms 18. We're going to begin in verse 28. Psalms 18, verse 28 through 30. Psalms 18, verse 28 through 30. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. If we really trust God, then we will allow him to enlighten our darkness. And do we really understand what that is saying? To enlighten our darkness needs, we need enlightening. It's because we're not seeing clearly. Go back to verse 29. Remember what God has done for us. For by thee I have run through a troop and I have leaped over the wall. And that batters your light. You do that by following his perfect way, as verse 30 says. For God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him, a buckler, a shield in battle, something we can pull up to protect that light, that we protect its ability to shine. We are always going to have battles, but we must learn to fight those battles, big and small, in his light. We will always have something, but it takes just someone in the middle of that something to do what is right in God's word. That someone can turn a negative into a positive. Be that someone. If we see that, and we know that, and we understand that, we are obligated to do that in meekness and lowliness of heart. Go to Psalms 119. Again, Psalms 119. I'm going to read verses 105 and 106. Psalms 119. Reading verses 105 and 106. Psalms 119, 105, and 106. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We have sworn and we will perform it. Sworn what? And perform what? That we will keep his righteous judgments. Live a life filled with the, live a light-filled life in Jesus Christ. We have sworn and we will perform it to keep his righteous judgments. Go into the New Testament, into 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. New Testament, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We're going to read verses starting in 18 through 20. Again, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. So much of this chapter teaches us on the gifts and the callings of those filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Paul teaches us that we truly are one body working together. As Paul teaches us again in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, reading verses 18 through 20. But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. We understand what he is saying, that our natural body is made up of all kinds of parts and pieces, and that makes us one body, and each part and piece is valuable. We really know these scriptures. We understand these scriptures, and for the most part, we live these scriptures. Drop down to verses 25 through 26. That there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Schisms or divisions, they occur when members of our body do not have the same care and thoughtfulness of one another. Verse 26, when one member suffers, all suffer. When one member is honored, all rejoice with it. Those are exact opposites, just like in Ecclesiastes. from suffering to being honored, and everything in between. What is this scripture saying exactly? To be aware of your brothers and sisters, especially when we are working or dealing together on anything. How are they feeling? What's going on in their life? Isn't that being meek and lowly in heart? Isn't that preferring someone else? Isn't that being God-centered, not self-centered? And that's what we're supposed to be, God-centered, led by His Spirit. In every situation we face, we have two choices, just two, and they're pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Every situation that comes, you can either, number one, respond with a natural decision. Number two, respond with a spiritual solution. Whichever one I choose sets the course for what is to follow. Natural is going to be natural. Spiritual is going to be spiritual. Think about that. Whichever one I choose sets the course for what is to follow. Are you still listening with yourself in mind? Haven't thrown this over your shoulder? I asked myself so many times when I put this lesson together, do I line up to this? Do I line up to this? It's those very differences in our body, the different gifts, the callings, the talents, even the different personalities. Those differences add variety and life into this church. Those differences should create a mutual dependency upon each other, not divide us. I want to say that again. All the differences in this body, they bring variety and life to this church. They should create a mutual dependency on each other, not divide us. They complement each other. This requirement, God's requirement of us, unity, true unity. It's my responsibility and it's your responsibility. It is the responsibility of each and every one of us. God graciously equips us with His Holy Ghost, and then He expects us to pick up this responsibility of unity and walk daily with this body. Everything we do or say, how we interact with one another, either promotes or fosters this unity, or it creates schisms. Everything we do, in word or deed, and how we interact with one another, it either promotes unity or it creates schisms. And that choice starts with me and you. It starts with just one. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 16. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We are the temple of the living God by the very fact that His Spirit lives inside each one of us. But look closely at the first part of this scripture. What agreement had the temple of God with idols? Idols. We know and understand an idol is anything that we put before God. And for most of us, there really is very little that we put before our God. We love Him with our whole heart, mind, body, and soul. There's very little we put before our God. But you know what? If we're not careful, our old nature can be an idol. When we respond with a natural decision instead of a spiritual solution, you just put your old nature before God. You're following the lead of your nature and not your Holy Ghost. Remember what I said on Wednesday night. It's so easy to override the Holy Ghost. Our nature is pretty strong. Stop and listen to your Holy Ghost and listen to each other. Really, really listen. We have been taught here in this body to see one another through Jesus' eyes. Learn also to listen with Jesus' ears. The only way any one of us are able to do that is through prayer and his light, because that's where we learn how to see through his eyes and hear with his ears and speak with his mouth. I have one last scripture I want to read tonight, and it's in 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. Before I read this, I'm going to ask you again, are you still listening with you uppermost in your mind? Are you still listening with you uppermost in your mind? I asked myself all through this lesson as I put it together, as I worked on this teaching, how do I line up to this? How do I line up to this? 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Purifying our souls. It was purified when he filled us with that Holy Ghost. We obeyed that truth, that unfeigned love, pure, sincere love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. One last thought that I'd like to share. When I work on my lessons, I sit down and I do it all on a computer first, and then after I print it off on the computer, I circle my scriptures in red so I don't get lost. And I think, oh, I need to say that. Oh, I do all kinds of things. So as I was finishing this lesson, I had, you know, going back over it and reading all of this and really looking at it from my own eyes, too, for where I line up with this, I had a thought that came into my head, and I want to share that thought. And it was definitely a thought from God. Shouldn't you have mastered this by now and be about my works? Shouldn't you have mastered this by now and truly be about my works? It hurt my stomach. It still puts a knot in my stomach. Shouldn't we have mastered this by now so we may truly be about his works? But you know what? If I think it and I feel it and I understand it, I'm responsible. I'm responsible. If you think it, and you feel it, and you know it, and you understand it, you're responsible. You're responsible. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through his Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. May God bless each one of us and truly bind us in his unity. Thank you.